everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to be doing a deep dive into the future. Well, not literally.
Right, no time machine needed.
Exactly, but we do have some really interesting insights into what might be coming next in the world of web design, especially looking ahead to 2025.
Yeah, we're going to be unpacking a French article that's called Dive into the Future of Web Design Without Drowning. It's got a ton of predictions about how websites are going to look, feel, and even sound.
Sound, huh? That's interesting. I think anyone listening, whether you're designing a website or you're just obsessed with tech trends like I am.
Or even just curious about what's coming up online.
Exactly. I think you'll find this deep dive fascinating. We'll be exploring how to make websites truly captivating.
Yeah, it's not just about aesthetics anymore. You know, the article really digs into how these trends are going to change the way people interact with brands online.
Okay, let's dive into the first trend, shall we? It's all about immersion, creating sensory universes. Now, I'm usually pretty wary of buzzwords.
Yeah, they can be a bit much sometimes.
But this one really does capture the essence of what we're talking about here. Imagine websites that feel like interactive adventures, pulling you in with animations, soundscapes, the whole nine yards.
It's about creating this holistic experience where every element contributes to a sense of total immersion.
I get it. It's like when you're watching a video that really draws you in, or playing a video game that makes you feel like you're actually in that world.
Exactly. That feeling of being completely absorbed, that's the power of immersion. And now, designers are starting to apply those same principles to websites.
Makes sense. Instead of just reading text on a flat screen, you're suddenly surrounded by this whole universe, right?
Right. And the article highlights a few websites that are already doing this really well. Slosh Seltzer, for instance. Their website is sloshseltzer.com. They've actually managed to turn scrolling into this sensory experience.
I've seen that one. It's amazing how they use design to make you feel those sensations of refreshment and flavor just by scrolling through the website.
You almost want to grab a can of seltzer right off the screen.
I know, right? It's so well done.
And the best part is, this isn't just some gimmick. There's actually research that shows that websites with immersive experiences see a 30% increase in how long users spend on their site.
Wow, that's significant. So it's not just about aesthetics. It translates to actual user engagement.
Exactly. And what I find really interesting is that this whole move towards immersion goes hand in hand with the next trend they highlight, which is massive typography. Boldness for brand identity. So picture this. You've got these immersive landscapes, and then bam, these big attention-grabbing fonts act like visual anchors.
Okay, so it's not just about making the text bigger. It's about using typography in a way that guides the user's eye and makes a statement.
Exactly. And one website that does this brilliantly is Watson.la. They've gone with a minimalist style overall, but then they use these giant titles that have a really powerful visual impact. It's bold, confident, and it tells you right away what they're all about.
It's like those huge billboards you see on the highway. You can't help but notice them, even if you're just zooming by.
It's hard to ignore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ATNZ. They've got this really unique approach. They actually designed their own typography that mimics the texture of ketchup.
That's brilliant. It's instantly recognizable and connects you right to their product.
Talk about memorable branding.
I love it. And it's interesting. Research shows that using large fonts can actually improve how quickly people understand things by up to 20%.
So it's not just visually appealing. It actually helps with comprehension. Bigger really is better when it comes to grabbing attention and getting the message across.
Absolutely. It's a win-win. Now, the article then moves on to color palettes, and it's here that we see the fascinating split. Visual contrast. Monochrome versus color explosion.
It seems like in 2025, we're going to see two completely different trends emerging, each pulling in opposite directions.
So, on one hand, we've got this trend toward minimalism and monochrome, stripping everything back to the essentials. It's all about clean lines, limited color palettes, and creating a sense of elegance and sophistication.
Right. A great example of this is Bennett & Clive. Their website is BennettandClive.com. They've managed to create this feeling of understated elegance by really embracing the power of monochrome. It's all about calm and clarity.
It's like stepping into a really luxurious spa. Everything is clean, uncluttered, just so tranquil.
Exactly. But then on the other side of the spectrum, we have this whole color explosion approach. Think vibrant, dynamic color schemes, all about energy, vibrancy, and making a statement.
And wouldn't you know it, Slosh Seltzer, the same folks with the immersive scrolling experience, they're a fantastic example of this trend as well. Their website is a burst of color and energy.
It perfectly reflects their brand personality, doesn't it?
Totally. It's like a party in your browser.
It's fascinating to see these two opposing trends playing out. makes me wonder, is this a reflection of what's happening in the wider world?
I think you might be onto something. Maybe it's like fashion, where you have these minimalist trends coexisting alongside really bold maximalist trends.
Yeah, I think it comes down to finding the right balance and choosing the approach that best aligns with your brand and your message. And speaking of finding balance, the next trend we'll be diving into is all about design in motion, the power of animations. It seems like animations are becoming essential, really moving beyond just being a nice-to-have element.
You know, I have to admit, I'm a bit of a sucker for a well-executed animation.
They can be really captivating.
I think it's because they make websites feel more alive, more dynamic, like you're actually interacting with something, rather than just passively looking at a static page.
Yeah, they definitely add that extra layer of engagement. And the article points to some specific techniques, like parallax scrolling, where elements move at different speeds as you scroll to create this really cool sense of depth and dimension.
I love that. And then there are hover animations, those subtle little movements or changes that happen when you move your cursor over certain elements.
Yeah.
It can be really playful and fun.
And they encourage exploration, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, what happens if I hover over this? Is something cool going to happen?
One website that does hover animations brilliantly is Inkfish. Their website's at inkfish.co. They're really subtle, but they add this delightful touch of interactivity.
I know, right? It's like these little hidden gems that you discover as you browse. And then there's AIM Obis Agency at obis.net. Their website uses animation in a completely different way. They actually use it to tell a story. Each transition feels very intentional, creating this seamless flow that guides you through the content. It's like watching a beautifully choreographed dance. Every movement has a purpose.
It's incredible how much life animations can bring to a website. And what's really interesting is how this focus on animation is merging with another emerging trend, 2D 3D Alliance, a new visual perspective. We're seeing more and more websites combining 2D and 3D elements to create visually stunning and really dynamic experiences.
I can already picture it. Websites where you feel like you can reach out and touch the elements that pop off the screen and draw you in.
Exactly. And this trend has huge potential for so many different industries. Imagine online stores where you can actually manipulate a 3D model of a product to get a feel for it before you buy it.
Right. Or like art portfolios where artists can showcase their work in this really captivating way, blurring the lines between the physical and digital.
It's really about bringing the real world into the digital space.
And I bet it's super effective too. The article mentions a design agency that saw a 50% increase in leads after adding interactive 3D animations to their site.
Wow, that's impressive. Clearly, this trend is more than just pretty visuals. It can drive real business results.
It's definitely something to pay attention to. And speaking of things that are catching my attention, let's talk about the next trend, sound, a new dimension of engagement.
This one really intrigued me, the idea that we're not just going to be looking at websites, but listening to them as well.
I have to be honest, I was a bit skeptical when I first read about this trend. I mean, I love music and all, but do I really want my website browsing experience to be filled with jingles and sound effects?
I understand your hesitation. It's definitely a trend that needs to be approached thoughtfully.
Right. You don't want it to be overwhelming or distracting.
Exactly. But when done well, it can really add to the immersive experience. Remember Active Theory? They're one of the leaders when it comes to using sound to create these really immersive online experiences.
I'm picturing a website that has its own unique soundtrack, like a movie.
It's like creating a whole soundscape for the user to explore. And it's not just background music either. Some websites are experimenting with adding subtle sounds to things like clicks and scrolls.
So it's like giving the user auditory feedback for their actions. I can see how that can be really engaging, as long as it's not overdone.
Right. It's all about finding that sweet spot where the sound enhances the experience without becoming too intrusive.
Exactly. And I think this brings us to another important point, which is that even with all these cool, innovative trends, we can't forget about the basics of good design, which is why I'm really intrigued by this next trend, structured minimalism, prioritizing readability.
It's a good reminder that clarity and structure are still essential for a good user experience, even in this age of immersive experiences.
It's like building a house. You need a solid foundation before you start adding all the fancy details.
Exactly. And a great example of this is, again, Inkfish, the website you mentioned earlier. They have this really clean, well-structured layout that makes it so easy to navigate and find the information you're looking for. Everything is presented in a really clear and concise way. Their website's inkfish.co. It's you want to check it out.
I definitely will. You know, sometimes it's just so refreshing to come across a website that's not cluttered and overwhelming.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that this approach to minimalism actually helps those animations and interactions stand out even more. Because the foundation is so clean and structured, those dynamic elements really shine without feeling like they're competing for attention.
I see what you mean. It's like a well-choreographed dance. Every movement has a purpose and contributes to the overall impact. Speaking of impact, let's move on to the last trend highlighted in the article. Innovative features. Surprise to retain. It seems like in 2025, it's not enough for a website to just look good. It needs to offer something truly unique and memorable to keep users coming back.
Exactly. It's about finding ways to surprise and delight users, to keep them engaged and curious. It's like in a world where everyone's constantly bombarded with information and content, you need to give users a reason to choose your website over the millions of others out there.
Right. You need that something special, that element that makes them say, wow, I've never seen that before. I'm thinking of igloo.inc again. Their website, it's igloo.inc, uses this really cool infinite scroll feature that makes you feel like you're on this never-ending journey. It keeps you wanting to see what's next.
It's a brilliant way to keep users engaged. And the article mentions another great example. A beverage company added an interactive minigame to their website, which actually led to a 25% increase in social media engagement.
That's amazing. Talk about a creative way to get people talking about your brand. It shows that incorporating these innovative features can have a real impact.
Absolutely. But as with all these trends, it's crucial to be strategic. It's not just about throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks.
It's about finding the right features that align with your brand, your target audience, and your overall goals.
Right. You need to ask yourself, will this feature truly enhance the user experience, or is it just a gimmick? It's all about making thoughtful choices that contribute to a cohesive and engaging online experience.
Well, I have to say, my head is spinning with all these trends and ideas. It's a lot to process, but it's so exciting to see how web design is evolving.
I know, right? It's like we're on the brink of this whole new era of web design.
Absolutely. It's a little daunting, but also super inspiring. But before we get too carried away with all the possibilities, I think it's time to take a step back and consider how we can actually put these trends into practice. I mean, how do we make sure we're not just chasing the latest fads, but actually creating websites that are both beautiful and functional?
That's a great question, and one that the article addresses in detail. In the next part of our deep dive, we'll be exploring some practical strategies for integrating these trends effectively and avoiding common pitfalls. So stay tuned.
Sounds good to me. Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll dive back into it. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in terms of those 8 futuristic web design trends, everything from immersive experiences to the power of sound. But now I'm really curious about the practical side of things. How do we actually take these trends and integrate them effectively? How do we make sure we're not losing sight of what users actually need in all the excitement?
Right, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
The article actually offers a really helpful roadmap for putting these innovations into practice, and it all starts with this simple but crucial idea. Prioritize the trends based on what you're trying to achieve.
So not all trends are created equal. We need to be strategic about which ones we embrace. Right?
Exactly. It's about figuring out which trends best align with your specific goals and the audience you're trying to reach. The article recommends a step-by-step approach. First, you need to really understand the needs of your users.
Okay, that makes sense. We need to know what they're looking for, what they find engaging, and what might turn them off, right? But how do we actually get that information?
Well, there are some great tools out there that can help, like Hotjar or Google Analytics.
I've heard of those. They track user behavior on websites, right?
Exactly. They can give you incredibly valuable insights into how people are interacting with your website, what they're clicking on, how long they're staying on each page, things like that.
So we can use that data to get a better understanding of what our audience wants and expects from our site.
Precisely. Once you have that understanding, the next step is to think about their expectations. Do they value a clean, minimalist design? Or are they looking for those more immersive, interactive experiences?
I imagine that can vary a lot depending on the type of website and the target audience.
Absolutely. For example, if you know that most of your audience is accessing your site on mobile devices, you'll need to prioritize trends that translate well to smaller screens.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want to force a trend that just isn't going to work for your audience or your website.
Exactly. And one thing the article really emphasizes is that you don't want to try to do too much at once. It specifically recommends choosing just 2 or 3 trends to focus on.
Oh, that's interesting. So less is more when it comes to web design trends.
It seems that way. It's about focusing your efforts and creating a cohesive experience rather than overwhelming users with a mishmash of features.
I like that. It's like a chef creating a dish. Too many ingredients can muddle the flavors, right? It's about choosing the right elements and combining them in a way that creates a harmonious and satisfying experience.
Exactly. You want each element to complement the others, not compete with them.
I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. But back to web design, can you give me some examples of how different trends might be more suitable for certain types of websites?
Sure. Imagine a luxury brand website. They might prioritize monochrome elegance and massive typography to really evoke that sense of sophistication and exclusivity. On the other hand, a tech startup might lean more toward advanced animations and 3D elements to really showcase their innovation and cutting-edge approach.
I can see how those choices would really reflect the brand identity and appeal to their target audience. So it's not just about following trends blindly. It's about making strategic decisions that make sense for your brand and your message.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that sometimes, even though it's tempting to go all in on the latest and greatest, we need to make sure we're not sacrificing usability for the sake of trendiness.
Right. We don't want to get so caught up in looking cool that we forget about the user experience.
And that's where these concepts of visual complexity and prototypicality come into play. The article really dives into these ideas, emphasizing that simplicity and familiarity are still key for a good user experience.
Okay, those sound like some pretty technical terms. Can you break them down for me?
Sure. Visual complexity, or CV, is basically a measure of how complex a design is. The article suggests that simpler, cleaner designs are more likely to capture and hold a user's attention.
That makes sense. Think about when you land on a website that's just a jumbled mess of images, text, and pop-ups.
You immediately feel overwhelmed, right? And you're probably more likely to just click away and find a site that's easier on the eyes.
Absolutely. It's like walking into a store that's so packed with merchandise you can barely move. You just want to get out there as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So keeping things simple can actually make your site more engaging. What about prototypicality?
Yes, what's that all about?
Prototypicality, or PT, is about sticking to established conventions in web design.
So using familiar elements like menus, navigation bars, things like that.
Exactly. The idea is that if a website follows those conventions, it'll be perceived as more credible and trustworthy.
It's like speaking the user's language, right? If a website feels familiar and predictable, they're more likely to feel comfortable and confident navigating it.
Right. They don't have to spend time figuring out how things work. They can just focus on finding the information they need. The article actually shares a really interesting anecdote about a user test where a website had this really complex design. It was full of all these impressive animations and effects, but it actually ended up reducing user engagement by 40%.
Wow, that's really surprising.
I know, right? But it just goes to show that sometimes too much of a good thing can actually be a bad thing. It's a reminder that we always need to prioritize clarity and usability over flashy features.
I think that's a really valuable lesson. Innovation is great, but not if it comes at the expense of the user experience.
Exactly. And to help designers strike that balance, the article recommends looking to websites that have already successfully integrated trends while still maintaining a focus on user experience.
So, like, finding inspiration from the best of the best, what are some of the examples they highlight?
Well, they mentioned Webflow, which is known for its immersive animations and really fluid transitions. Then there's Figma, which has this super minimalist and structured interface that's really easy to use. And, of course, Igloo.ink, which we've already talked about quite a bit. They're a great example of how to use advanced interactions and subtle sound design to create a really engaging experience without sacrificing usability.
Those are some great examples. I'm definitely going to revisit their sites with all this in mind just to see how they've managed to strike that balance. But let's say we've done our research, gathered inspiration, and we have a clear vision for our website. What's the next crucial step?
Testing. Before you launch that site, you absolutely have to test it thoroughly. The article really stresses this point. It's about making sure that your website not only looks good, but that it actually performs well too.
So it's not enough for it to be visually stunning. It needs to be accessible to everyone, load quickly, and work seamlessly on all devices.
Exactly. They recommend focusing on three key areas: accessibility, performance, and multi-platform compatibility. Accessibility testing ensures that your website is usable by everyone, including people with disabilities.
That's so important for creating an inclusive online experience.
Absolutely. And there's some great tools out there, like WayBE, that can help you identify and address any accessibility issues.
I'll have to check that one out. What about performance testing?
Performance testing focuses on making sure that all those cool features, the animations, 3D elements, and so on, don't slow down your website.
Makes sense, because nobody wants to wait around for our website to load.
Exactly. And research shows that if a website takes longer than 3 seconds to load, over half of users will just abandon it.
Wow, 3 seconds. That's not a lot of time to make a good first impression. So optimizing for speed is crucial, and then there's multi-platform compatibility.
Right, with so many people accessing websites on their phones and tablets these days, it's more important than ever to make sure your site looks and functions perfectly on all those different screen sizes and operating systems.
We don't want to alienate any potential users just because they're not browsing on a desktop computer.
Exactly. And there are tools like Browser Stack that allow you to test your website on a whole range of devices and browsers.
Okay, so to recap, we need to be mindful of accessibility, avoid design overload, prioritize mobile compatibility, and ensure fast loading times. I'm sensing a theme here. It's all about balance, isn't it?
You got it. The article really cautions against overloading your website with too many trendy elements.
Right, because sometimes less is more.
Exactly. It's about choosing the elements that will have the most impact and using them in a way that enhances the user experience, not detracts from it.
The article actually highlights Slosh Filter's website as a great example of this balanced approach. They've managed to incorporate a really vibrant color scheme, some fun animations, and even that cool scrolling experience we talked about, but it all works together seamlessly.
Yeah, it's a great example of how to incorporate trends without sacrificing clarity and usability.
I'll definitely have to give their site another look. But now, let's talk about something that really stood out to me in the article. It mentions how important it is to adapt these trends to your specific sector.
Right, because what works for one industry might not work for another.
Exactly. So, how do we figure out which trends are the best fit for our specific needs?
Well, the article provides some helpful examples. It suggests that structured minimalism is a perfect fit for things like financial or institutional websites, where credibility and transparency are key.
Makes sense. You want those sites to feel trustworthy and reliable, not flashy and distracting.
Right. On the other hand, immersive sound design might be more appropriate for creative industries or event-based websites.
Like a website for a music festival, for example. You could use sound to create that feeling of excitement and energy.
Exactly. It's all about choosing the trends that best align with your brand and your goals.
But how do we know if our efforts are actually paying off? It can't just be a guessing game.
You're right. That's why the next step in the article's roadmap is all about measuring the impact of your design choices after you launch the website. It's about using data to see what's working and what's not.
So it's a data-driven approach to web design.
Exactly. You need to track key metrics to see how users are interacting with your site. The article highlights three essential indicators: time spent on site, bounce rate, and conversion.
Okay, let's break those down. Time spent on site, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's basically how long people are staying on your website. If you've successfully implemented those immersive experiences we talked about, you should see an increase in the amount of time people spend on your site.
That makes sense. What about bounce rate?
Bounce rate is a percentage of people who land on your website and then immediately leave without interacting with it.
So a high bounce rate is a bad thing.
It can be, yeah. It suggests that people aren't finding what they're looking for, or that your website is confusing or difficult to navigate.
So we want to keep that bounce rate as low as possible.
Exactly. And then there are conversions, which is really what it all comes down to in the end.
Yeah.
Conversions are actions that you want users to take on your website.
Like making a purchase, signing up for a newsletter, things like that.
Exactly. By tracking conversions, you can see how effective your website is at achieving its goals. It's about connecting your design choices to tangible results.
I see. So data plays a really crucial role in the whole web design process. It helps us understand our audience, make informed decisions, and track our progress.
Absolutely. And to help us avoid some common pitfalls, the article actually provides a list of errors to avoid. It's like a checklist of things to watch out for when implementing these trends.
Okay. I'm all ears. What are some of the mistakes we should be wary of?
Well, the first one, and this is a big one, is ignoring accessibility. Remember, we want to create websites that are usable by everyone, and neglecting accessibility excludes a significant portion of our potential audience.
Right. It's not just about being inclusive. It's about making sure our websites are reaching the widest possible audience.
Exactly. Another common mistake is overloading the design with too many bells and whistles. We talked about this before, but it's worth repeating. Too many animations, effects, or other elements can overwhelm users and make your website feel cluttered and confusing.
It's like that visual cacophony we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Another common mistake is neglecting mobile compatibility. We can't forget that more and more people are accessing the internet on their phones and tablets these days, so it's absolutely essential to make sure your website looks and functions perfectly on those smaller screens.
We don't want to lose potential customers just because they're browsing on their phone during their commute.
Exactly. And then there's sacrificing speed, which is another big one. We've already talked about how important it is to have a website that loads quickly.
3 seconds or bust, right.
Pretty much. Heavy images, complex animations, and poorly written code can all slow down your website, which can lead to user frustration and ultimately lost conversions.
Okay, so we need to be mindful of accessibility. Avoid design overload, prioritize mobile compatibility, and ensure fast loading times. It seems like a lot to keep in mind, but it sounds like it all comes down to finding that balance between innovation and usability.
You hit the nail on the head. The article really drives home the point that simplicity is often the key to a successful design.
Like that old saying, less is more.
Exactly. It's about prioritizing clarity and avoiding combinations that might overwhelm users. Like, you wouldn't want to pair massive typography with super complex animations, for example.
That would be a bit much, even for me. So how do we make sure we're striking that right balance?
The article recommends drawing inspiration from websites that have already achieved that harmony. Look at sites like Swash Seltzer, Webflow, Figma, and Igloo.ink, and see how they've managed to incorporate trends without sacrificing usability.
I like that. It's like learning from the masters. But what about when you need more than just inspiration? What if you're working on a really complex project and you need some expert guidance?
Well, the article actually addresses that, too. It suggests that for those more complex projects, it can be really helpful to collaborate with specialized agencies.
So bringing in the big guns.
Exactly. Agencies that have experience working with these cutting-edge trends and technologies can offer valuable insights and technical expertise that you might not have in-house.
That makes a lot of sense. Sometimes it's just better to call in the experts.
Absolutely. And the article also emphasizes that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to web design. What works for one website might not work for another.
Right. It's not about following a set of rules. It's about finding the approach that best aligns with your brand, your target audience, and your specific goals.
Exactly. And finally, and this is something that often gets overlooked, the article reminds us that even the most stunning website design is meaningless if the content isn't compelling.
Right. Content is king, as they say.
It's true. You need to make sure your website is offering valuable information, engaging stories, or whatever else it is that your target audience is looking for.
It's about creating a website that's not just visually appealing, but that also has something to say.
Exactly. So, we've covered a lot of ground here. We've talked about prioritizing trends, understanding our audience, testing and optimizing our websites, and avoiding common pitfalls. But there's one more really crucial element that I think is worth exploring further, and that's the human element. Even with all this incredible technology at our fingertips, I think it's more important than ever to remember that web design is ultimately about human connection.
I completely agree, and the article touches on that too. It emphasizes that while trends can provide inspiration and guidance, they should never be followed blindly. It's the human element, that spark of creativity, that truly brings a website to life.
It's about using these trends as tools to express our vision, to tell our stories, and to connect with our audience on a deeper level.
I love that. And I think that's the perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive, where we'll explore that fascinating aspect of web design in more detail. Welcome back, everyone. We've been talking all about these really exciting trends that are going to shape web design in 2025. And, you know, while it's been fascinating to explore all these cutting-edge tools and techniques, there's something that the article kept coming back to that I really wanted to dig into a bit deeper.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's that reminder that even in this world of, like, increasingly sophisticated technology, AI and all that, it's still the human element that makes a website truly great.
Exactly. It's easy to get caught up in all the technical stuff, the code, the algorithms, but at the end of the day, web design is all about connecting with people, right?
It really is. It's about using technology to create experiences that resonate with people on an emotional level, not just a functional one.
I couldn't agree more. It's about bringing personality, creativity, a genuine desire to connect with your audience into your website.
Yeah.
And I think the article we've been discussing does a great job of reminding us that these trends are really just tools. They're not the end goal.
Right. They're like a starting point, a source of inspiration. But it's ultimately up to us, the designers, to use those tools in a way that's both purposeful and artistic.
Okay. I like that. So how do we do that? How do we strike that balance between, you know, following those established best practices and also pushing the boundaries of design and really letting our creativity shine through.
Well, the article offers some really insightful advice on this. It suggests that the first step is to really, truly understand your target audience. Who are these people? Mm-hmm. What are their needs, their desires? What are their pain points? What kind of experience will truly resonate with them on a personal level?
It's about empathy, right?
Yeah.
Putting yourself in the user's shoes, seeing the world through their eyes.
Exactly. And once you have that deep understanding of your audience, then you can start exploring different design approaches and experimenting with the trends we talked about to find the perfect combination that will grab their attention and create a lasting impression.
It's like putting together a puzzle, finding the right pieces that fit together to create a beautiful and complete picture.
I love that analogy. And just like with a puzzle, there's no one right way to do it. It's about trying different things, exploring various possibilities, and ultimately trusting your gut.
That's so important, to trust your instincts and not be afraid to experiment.
Absolutely. The article actually encourages us to be playful, to have fun with the design process, and to break the rules if it means creating something truly unique and memorable.
I love that idea, to see those trends not as limitations, but as springboards for our own creativity. It's so liberating.
It is. And it's important to remember that the web is constantly evolving. What's considered groundbreaking today might be old news tomorrow.
So how do we stay ahead of the curve?
It's a challenge, for sure, but it's also what makes web design so exciting. We need to be constantly learning, growing, pushing ourselves to explore new ideas and new ways of connecting with our audience.
And I think that's a great takeaway from this whole conversation. The future of web design is in our hands. It's up to us to shape it, to mold it, to make it something truly special.
And to infuse it with our own unique vision and creativity.
Exactly. So as we move forward into this exciting new era of web design, let's remember to embrace that challenge. Let's stay curious, stay playful, and most importantly, let's never lose sight of the human element that makes web design so powerful.
Well said.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the future of web design. We hope you found it insightful and inspiring. Until next time, happy designing, everyone. What next?